It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
Our guest for today is Davey's old ESPN coworker, Sage Steele. She's an inspiration to so many, and we can't wait to dive in to this amazing conversation. Check it out.
Hi.
Hola.
I'm so happy to see you.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, goodness. Come here. Layla. Okay, this dog is 90 pounds, and she's always at my feet. Can you come here? Come here.
90 pounds.
You're fine. Lay down.
That is not a small dog.
No. Not my decision. Good girl.
Wait a minute.
What kind of dog is she?
Wait a minute. Not your decision? Something happened and it wasn't your decision?
Okay. Here we go. You want to start like that? I'm so ready for you, Paul. she's almost 10. When I moved from here in 2014 to Scottsdale, I was doing just NBA. And the kids, you know, the kids were little and they're like devastated to leave. And I was like, fine, we'll get it. I was always said, we're in Connecticut. It's winter. I'm not getting a dog here. And then I was like, okay, I feel guilty. We'll go to Arizona and get a dog. So we got a dog. And I let my husband at the time make the decision. So I would have gotten one of those, not like a rat dog. I would have gotten like probably like a 20 pounder, not a 100 pounder. So I lost, but it was, you know, my fault that we were moving cross country, mom's job. So the guilt is real. And you know what? She's a sweetheart. So it's fine that I lost that one.
See, that makes me respect her even more, because what that says to me is you have a defensive lineman dog as opposed to a skill position. See, you're more of a skill position person.
True.
So
listen.
But your dad to me is more of a D lineman, you know, in the service like that. That he's more of that kind of guy. So I appreciate that.
I love it. Okay. First of all, you know that I'm the skill position guys. Thank you. They're divas. I don't do divas, as you know. And so, but my dad, yeah, he was an old Army tight end, which I mean, back in the day, tight end is like to me the ultimate position. I mean, now it's kind of glamorous now, right? But back then, you're blocking, and if you catch 12 passes a year, that's like a big deal.
Oh, yeah. And see, we are always, me and Sage, her dad actually, I saw him at the Army-Navy game years and years ago, and them. I'm always an Army guy because my Uncle Gus was in the Army. He was a four-star general for years and years, so we always
had that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Gus was a four-star general. He was...
oh, my goodness.
He was in service for a long time. So me and you always shared the Army connection. But Sage, we always shared a big connection with a lot of things. I always loved working with you. I loved your smile, just how happy you were. And so what is Sage Steele up to now post ESPN, and now what's your next steps?
That's a big old question, Pollock.
We got plenty of time, girlfriend.
Okay. I have this huge announcement that I wish I could share with you. I'm almost to the point of being able to share it. I have, like, non-work, I have just learned to slow down. And it's been actually a challenge, you know, because, I mean, I was 11 years old when I said I wanted to do this for a living. Like, 11. And that was in 19, I'm aging myself, but that was in, like, 84. There were no little girls wanting to do that back then, right? So in order to do it, it was this big dream, and my mom and dad helped me get there. But like, it's just been a grind. I graduated from college in 95, and it was, again, no women really doing it in locker rooms or anything. So it's just grind, grind, grind. And all of a sudden that grind isn't there. So it's been difficult because I thrive on the adrenaline. And I always knew that, but I really felt that after I didn't have that, okay, 2 hours, live TV, national TV, every single day, SportsCenter. And as you know, we didn't just show up and, you know, read or whatever. We wrote everything, and everything was a lot of ad-libbing, the majority of it. And I love that pressure. So I've had to kind of create that, which has been a really good challenge. But it's also been super healthy, right, to slow down. And David, my kids are older than yours. By the way, we both have a Nicholas,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
My Nicholas just turned 20, and my daughter Quinn is almost 22, and my daughter Evan is almost 18. And so you guys talk a lot about family on your show, and that's been such a blessing to be able to be more present, you know? I mean, when you're in that kind of a grind every single day, and it's just me. Unfortunately, I've been divorced for about 4.5 years, and it's just me. So it's like, go, 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 go. And it's been a blessing to slow down. I don't know if my kids would say that because I'm around more. The other two are at college, but Evan's like, can you leave?
Ain't you
please?
Got something to do,
I'm
mama?
Like, no, I am here.
Deal with it.
Hey, yeah. Davey's been having the same issues. Like, we used to be able to put up with him because in small doses. But now that we have so much of him around, it's been challenging for us, and I'm sure for Lindsay and the
well,
kids.
Well, his energy is like that too, right?
Dang, Skippy. That's all right.
Yeah, he's got the energy. Hey, Sage, Pastor Jay here. It's great to meet you.
It's awesome to meet you, too.
I'm a big fan. My wife is a big fan. She wanted to be here just to say hello to you, but she had something else she was doing today.
Oh,
so
my gosh. Thank you.
She was telling me she follows you on social media and all that, so... Well, I'm excited about diving in. You mentioned your dad earlier, and I did a little research. He was the first black varsity football player at Army. Can you talk a little bit about him and how that impacted your life and just a little bit about his story?
Yeah, my dad's my guy. He broke the color barrier in 1966. Hmm. Something he doesn't talk much about with us because he doesn't think it really matters, and he'll say it. He said it actually on the NFL Films piece that they did 5 or 6 years ago. It's forever pinned on my Twitter feed because it just is everything to me. And it really describes our family quite well. But, you know, he's like, somebody had to be first. It just happened to be me. And it has nothing to do with how he is as a father. And that's why he didn't talk about it around us. But I was like, Dad, hello. You know, I wanted to be a sportscaster. You could have told me this. And when he was at Army... I mean, if you look back in the history of Army football and the coaches, they had some great ones. Bill Parcells was an assistant coach when my dad played there. He learned from the best. Coach K was one of my dad's classmates.
Wow.
Bob Knight was the basketball coach there. I ended up going to Indiana. So he was just very, obviously very structured. His father was also an Army officer. And my dad's brother went to West Point at the same time. He ran track there. My dad also ran track. So you talk about structure, you talk about respect, you talk about, listen, Saturday mornings, you will like this. David, your kids are young enough, you could still implement this. I had Saturday morning room inspections. Every
Ooh.
Saturday morning, my dad would come knock on the door, just like he was at West Point, knock twice, and we answer. I mean, whether you're ready or not, you know, we open the door and we'd salute. And, you know, he'd check the salute, like, are you popping up, right?
Okay.
And then he said, are you prepared for inspection? And, of course, we say, yes, sir. And
what if you weren't?
Walk in. And he'd walk around and, I mean, like, march around. And we were like, oh, my gosh. He made it a competition with us three kids, though. And, of course, who always won, David?
You did. Of course. Come on.
How old were you when this was happening?
Oh, little. I mean, I would say probably started at, like, six. So six, and then Chad was four, and then my little brother was much younger. He wasn't born yet. So all the way through, like, primary school, and I think it went into high school. I'm pretty sure. And I'll say this. It was so cool because every infraction was 10 push-ups.
Oh, wow.
And so I was jacked at a young age.
Thank you, Daddy.
An infraction could have been just, like, the corner of your bed not fully tucked in, or a little bit of dust on the corner of your dresser, and that's 10 push-ups.
Wow. That's so cool. How was your dad when boys were coming over to ask you out or to take you on a date in high school?
Listen, I'm not looking for sympathy here. I'm just being very honest. And if he were here, he would tell you the truth. He would tell you that I'm not lying. Never once was there a knock on my door. I saw no boys.
They knew better?
No, what's that?
They knew better?
No, David. I was the most awkward, like, ugly, big hair. Like, so when I was a senior in high school, I was 5'10", about 118 pounds. I was like Skeletor. And it just, not cute. So I was asking people to prom. There was no one not banging on my door. So my dad had this grand idea that he had been planning since my birth, that when a boy came to the door someday, he was going to wear, I called him when he would wear his army fatigues, I called him his G.I. Joe clothes. He was going to wear his G.I. Joe clothes and have a rifle over his right shoulder. He never even owned a gun. And in his left hand, have a beer can that he was going to crush as the kid, you know, knocked on the door. He never got to live out that dream because no one asked me out. And I'm serious. It's lame, but it's the truth.
I can relate, by the way. I've had one girlfriend, so I can absolutely
relate. Kindergarten, right?
Yeah, I was the chubby kid. I met my wife when I was a senior in high school. I knew her since she was younger, but we started dating when I was a senior. But I didn't have any knocks at the door. But we do have. I am fully ready. So what's the movie Bad Boys? We are fully ready to go. Yeah. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. I'm going to be in my underwear. I'm going to be like, you remember when he's talking about Reggie? Reggie, you look 40. Like, we are ready to have a gun. One buddy with a gun in the woods with a laser on you. Like, we're ready to go all. I'm ready to do that too. But I can relate.
But you need to.
But you know what I realized about that, Sage? What I realized about that was God really protected me. And God sheltered me from a lot of, you know, bad decisions that I could have made when I was younger. I'm very appreciative now as I've gotten older, is like, I probably could have done some really stupid things and some dumb things because I probably wasn't as confident as I should have been in myself. And I wasn't as happy as I should have been in myself. And now, like, as you've gotten older and more mature, I think it's God kind of protects you from some of those bad decisions.
100%. When you're in it, you don't feel that, of course, especially when you're younger. And I remember saying it to my mom, like, why doesn't anyone, it's so sad when you think back how hard you are on yourself. Why doesn't anyone like me? Why doesn't, you know, I mean, am I fill in the blank? And, you know, this is pre-social media. I can't imagine now. I mean, there were no computers when I was going through this, basically, you know, so I can't imagine now. But my mom would say, it's okay, honey, your time will come. Your time will come. And also she didn't, and it was never like cutting down any other girls, but she was always just like, you don't want to peak as a junior in high school. Just wait.
just wait, honey.
And it's kind of true. And then you go to college, and gosh, the best 5 years of my life were in Bloomington, Indiana. I married my first boyfriend. So similar to you. And it was, I was married for 20 years, 2 days shy of 20 years, together for 27 years. So from 20 to 47. And listen, I'll go right there with you guys, because you talk about marriage and relationships and family all the time on your show, which I do love and we need more of. I'm 51, almost 52 this year. I never thought I'd be doing life alone at this age. That's for darn sure. But my faith has gotten so, look at me. I need something besides tea in here this morning. My faith has gotten so strong throughout that time, because it's not at all what you plan. And I'm Catholic. Like, you don't, I mean, nobody is supposed to get divorced, right? But as Catholics, like, no. And so there's been quite a journey to get to this point where I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be, and God has this plan. But, like, you know, I thought, my mother gave me this book during, she's like, God's not mad at you. And but we put this pressure on ourselves, like, oh my gosh, you have to stay in something even if you know it's not right because of all the reasons. And for me, you know, as a mother of three kids, yes, you say just keep going and push through it because of your kids. It's the right thing. And is it? I don't think that we can speak for everyone. And I think we all like to lump it all together. No one's in that home. No, everybody goes through this, through life and marriage. It's so personal, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I knew that for my children, actually, to see the marriage that I wanted them to see, wasn't the right thing to stay there, even though it was devastating. My parents were married for almost 53 years. Like, the bar was quite high for me. And I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but I think that we're so hard on ourselves. We beat ourselves up if it's not exactly how we planned and how we think God wants it. But I thought being an example for my children, like, I don't know, you have to be honest, and happiness does matter. And if I'm not showing them, how can I preach that to them if I'm not living that myself? So it's been quite a ride, and I'm finally to the point where I'm like, okay, whatever you got for me, God, I'm listening and I'm here. But it's amazing how judged people, how judged you feel from the outside, even people who preach spirituality and faith, and then they judge you for something that they don't know anything about. It's deep.
And a lot of times we put that on ourselves, you know, like we look at ourselves and we're not enough, but that's the great thing about God. Like it's grace. And I heard Pastor Robert Morris actually say this, it's grace period. And grace period, because it's not grace and, it's not grace but, it's not grace if, you know, like it's God's grace regardless in our lives. God's going to give us that grace no matter what. And it's not something we earn. And I think as Christians, as we go along too, I think we start to feel like we've kind of earned, you know, like I've been good. I've cleaned so much of myself up and I continue to get better, but it's still grace. It isn't us.
Yes.
It still comes back to grace in the end. And I think we gotta remind ourselves of that, like over and over again. I am enough. God says I'm enough. Like, what does God say about me? Not what do I say about myself? Because you know good and well, not only will we justify for ourselves, but we'll lie for ourselves. We'll lie to ourselves. Like it's a hard thing. So we go through those things in lives, and we need those reminders constantly. Like,
yeah.
But it's not easy. It's never going to be easy. If it was easy.
Well, but I've had some beautiful conversations with my priest yesterday. Another one, like, it's so cool, where you think everything's going to go a certain way and people are going to say a certain thing. And so to your point, we do that to ourselves quite often.
Oh, yeah.
And there's such a peace in knowing that it's not really like I'm taken care of. It just took me a long, I mean, I knew it my whole life. My parents, I mean, we had a faith-filled home growing up for sure. But then you get in it and sometimes you go crazy and you forget everything because you're scared. And then I realized through the work stuff and through some tough decisions with my career, like God has this incredible plan for me. I've just been too stubborn to slow down and really look at it and trust and to just let go. And like, I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't have some, I mean, I know, you know, what I have coming up work wise and some great things. And I know my daughter yesterday just committed to go to Ole Miss. So
hottie toddy, let's go.
I know, girlfriend, I'm so happy. So I got three kids. I told them I wouldn't pay for their college unless they went south out of this Northeast chaos. They're smart kids. They're all in the south now. So like, I know a couple of concrete things. Otherwise, I don't know. And it's so cool to just trust, finally. I'm sad that it took me this long to fully let go, but that was the plan apparently, and I'm all in.
Let go and let God.
Yeah.
Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things work together for the good of those who love God, who've been called according to his purpose. And so many people, I've sat with thousands of people who are going through difficult times, and it's interesting because sometimes it takes a difficult time for us to draw closer to God. And I've seen it with so many people. When difficult things happen in our lives, we have a choice to make. We can run to God or we can run away from God. And I've seen both sides of the equation, but I'm so encouraged that you've run to God and you're yeah. strengthened. Your faith has been strengthened. I was sitting with a man Friday in our church. He's 38 years old and he has cancer. And he listens to the podcast, and he has two small children, ages 7 and 5, and the doctors have given him 6 weeks to live.
Oh.
And I was sitting with him on Friday, and he said that he was glad that he had cancer. And that really shocked me, because he told me that last time I visited him in the hospital, he's at home now. And it really kind of rocked me that he would say that, but he said because of the cancer, He's closer to God. He's closer to his wife. He's closer to his girls. He and I are closer. He's closer to men in our church who have, you know, a lot of the guys are helping with his yard and cleaning his house and doing all this. But he said that he's glad that he got cancer because he now has this intimate relationship with God. And it sounds like this has happened to you going through the divorce. I know Davey and I have talked a lot about, you know, his hardships recently with losing his job, and his whole life is changing. And so difficult times draw us closer to God and closer to the ones who truly love us.
Yes. And yes, I think stories like that certainly give me perspective, right? Because we can all get in our little rut and feel sorry for ourselves. And you know what? That's fair. We're allowed to have those moments, and you just can't stay in them. And then you make sure that you are listening when you tell a story like that about someone who's literally gotten the worst news ever, based on, okay, he's 38 years old. Are you kidding me? And little girls and a wife, like, absolute devastation. And that's why we must be grateful for every day. I do try to be careful though, because I think you hear that kind of story and then you go, okay, fine. Everything's great, 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 great. It's fine. I have no reason to complain. I have no issues. No, both can exist. You can have life going every single day is going to have some stuff, and keep that in mind and be grateful, because we do not know what tomorrow brings. And it allows you to just to be more at peace with the crap that's going to happen when someone isn't nice at the grocery store or says some awful things online, which we are quite familiar with.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, go ahead, say that. I used to feel the need, David, I don't know if you did, I used to feel the need to respond to everybody that said something nasty, because I was like, no, that's not what I meant to say on TV, or meant by that tweet, or that's not what this lawsuit means. No. And I try to, it's like, no, I'm a really nice person. Just talk to me, and you're judging me. And then you just go, oh my goodness,
this ain't gonna work.
Number one, it's not gonna work. And number two, is that where you wanna put your energy? Heck no, was the answer for me. And I realized I'm putting energy into the negative, which, by the way, if you're taking the time to go online and try to crush people with your words, there's something in here with you that I don't really want to be a part of. So that's on me if I allow my energy to go to them instead of to the many people who are in our corner, whether we know them or not. How about our neighbors, our friends, our family, the good people who support us, even if they don't agree with us, God forbid, right?
Yeah.
So that's a choice. And I now am at peace. David, I'd like to hear where you are with this. At peace with not being liked, at peace with being misunderstood. And it's almost a gift, right? Because you realize not everybody's gonna like you, and you have to be okay with that. Are you okay with you? And are the people in your circle okay with you? The answer for me is finally yes. I'm okay with just focusing on those people. Are you good with letting go of the haters too?
Well, Reese, I always crack Reese Davis up because I've always, and this is sick, I know, but Pastor Jay knows this, but like, I enjoy that. I thoroughly enjoy the haters. I don't know why, but it's how I've been bred since I was little. And they don't bother me. I think it's always fun. That's what I always like when people, now this is before I got fired, so it's a little different, but like, I'd always be, when somebody says you're a horrible analyst, you're blank this, blank that. And we should start a movement, Fire Pollock. Like, that's how I used to say, that's how I deal with it. Like, I think it's funny. Or they'll be like, I've had people say, you're a horrible analyst, you're a horrible person, you're a horrible husband, like all kinds of stuff. And I'll be like, wait a minute, I'm not a horrible husband. I might be a horrible analyst, but hold on a second. So I think here's what I figured out, Sage, and I think people need to understand this. Some people don't like happy people. Some people don't like sad people. Some people don't like rich people. Some people don't like poor people. And you know what? Some people don't like people, Sage. Some people don't like people. So if I live a life trying to make everybody happy, I'll be miserable. I will absolutely be miserable. Now, there's a fine line between, now I will love everybody, because Jesus was very clear, like, love God and love people. And I will love people, and I will treat people with respect, and I will always try to do the right thing. But I'm not going to let other people's opinion of me affect me. I'm not going to let other people's opinion. Because here's the thing. You're right. Like, there's a lot of people that it doesn't matter what you say. They're going to have a problem.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I love when Sage said, "Whatever you got for me, God, I'm ready and I'm here." We never know what God has in store for us next, so let's be willing and ready for whatever it is. Guys, our talk with Sage is not over yet. Tune in next week for part two. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals podcast, and we'll catch you next week.